and welcome to my second podcast. This is John Stamford, and the podcast is Slice of Life. As ever, this is a learning experience for me, so don't expect anything too polished at this stage. We'll get better as we go along, I am sure, or at least I very much hope so. I want to talk today about the recent trial and the extension study looking at the effectiveness of GDNF, that's glial-derived neurotrophic factor, as a possible treatment for Parkinson's. It's been an interesting few weeks. On the 26th and 27th of February, the results of a double-blind placebo-controlled trial of GDNF in Parkinson's and of the open-label extension study were published in Brain and Journal of Parkinson's Disease, respectively. The following week, the first part of a double-bill documentary on the trial was broadcast in the UK on BBC Two. The following week, the concluding part was also broadcast. Between the papers and the documentary, the subject has been thoroughly examined and dissected. Discussion groups have been alive with interest, comments and interpretation. Many comments have been positive and congratulatory to the study participants, the designers, the scientists, the documentary makers, and the charities that funded the trial. But some comments have been negative, often expressing frustrations driven by the dichotomy between the documentary title and its final conclusions. Some thought that words like miracle cure, even when followed by a question mark, misled people over the content. If I'm honest, I probably would agree with them. Anyway, none of that should take away from the imagination of the scientists who devised this trial, and from the naked courage, really, of those who participated in the study. Let's be under no illusions here. These men and women put their lives on the line by being part of the study. Alan Wone, the principal investigator, said as much at the beginning of the documentary. This was experimental surgery, an experimental method, and an experimental drug. The possibility of catastrophe was very real. And that's not hyperbole, it's fact. Of course, the documentary made much of the bravery of the participants, and rightly so in my view, putting a human face on the raw numbers of science. Emotions certainly ran high and low, a roller coaster, I suppose, if you must use that tired tabloid simile. And nowhere were the emotions more raw than in the sequence describing Tom's death, tragic, almost comically tragic, that the person so central to the instigation of the trial should be the only one unable to benefit. You could almost hear Tom laughing at the irony of it. So what are we left with? What is Tom's legacy? If we strip away for a moment to the human dimension and look simply at the numbers, what does the data show? Did GDNF work or did it not? Well, to answer that, you have to move away from the documentary and go to the papers themselves. The only piece of data presented as such in the documentary was the moment when Alan Wone revealed in what was comfortably, or rather uncomfortably, close to game show host mode, that the drug had failed to reach its primary endpoint. But what does that mean? Well, to answer that question, you need to know a little bit about clinical trial design, so bear with me, I'll try and keep this as short as possible. Basically, all clinical trials have what's known as a primary endpoint. This is essentially the clinical measure chosen before the trial begins to determine efficacy of the drug over placebo. Depending on the nature of the trial, the primary endpoint can be one of many things. In some studies, for instance, quality of life may be the main interest, and therefore a quality of life measure would therefore be chosen as the primary endpoint. In a cancer trial, the main interest might be the duration of survival, and an appropriate endpoint would be chosen to reflect that. But for trials of Parkinson's drugs, the norm has been a measure called the UPDRS, or at least the motor component of that scale. UPDRS stands for Universal Parkinson's Disease Rating Scale. The study investigators set themselves the target of a 20% improvement in the off-state motor UPDRS score. GDNF failed to reach that target, nor did it show any difference on secondary endpoints. End of story, end of GDNF. But hang on a moment, not so fast. when you look at the post hoc analyses, that's the ones that weren't included at the beginning, a rather different picture emerges. 43% of patients receiving GDNF showed clinically important motor improvement. None of those receiving placebo did. PET scans of patients receiving GDNF also showed a between 25 and 100% increased fluorodope uptake in the putamen. Not one placebo patient showed a change. These results are a little more difficult to reconcile with the failure to demonstrate effectiveness at the primary endpoint. But the rules of statistics are such that one needs to define one's endpoints in advance of the trial, not at the end. If the post hoc analyses had been included at the beginning, we might be talking about the data slightly differently. Imagine, for instance, if fluorodopa uptake had been chosen as a primary endpoint, the study would have been a triumph. They would be singing and dancing. But that's the cruel world of statistics, a beautiful hypothesis apparently slain by ugly fact. And, of course, you're welcome to believe that, should you so wish. But if you do, I think you'd be selling the study short. It's the easiest thing in the world to utter the standard scientific mantra that further studies are required before conclusions can be drawn. The general public, where science is concerned, is not fond of cliffhangers. Now, I'm a patient and a scientist. As a patient, I want answers. As a scientist, I want to know that the answer is the correct one. So how do you marry up these two aspects? How do we blend the patient's sense of urgency with the scientist's need for accuracy? Well, the longer you look at it, the more obvious is the answer. You have to involve patients. Study designs have to reflect patient experience, and more than that, that experience needs to be central, not peripheral. GDNF works, I know it works, said Stephen Gill. It's just a matter of getting enough of it in the right place. Well, we've learned a lot from this trial, and we owe a lot to the 41 souls who put their lives on the line in this study. To paraphrase Winston Churchill, never in the field of human neurosurgery has so much been owed by so many to so few. Well, that's all from me until the next episode. I hope this was of interest and I hope it stimulated thought. Thank you and good night. Over and out.